Kyle Sondland and Herbert Konings are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, and thanks for tuning into the Security Token Show. I'm your host, Kyle Sondland, and with me is my co-host, Herwig Konings. We're coming to you from our studio in sunny Miami, Florida, and cannot wait to jump into today's show covering all things security tokens. But before we get into that, we need to thank our sponsor for episode 83. This episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by this week's sponsor, Relio Technology Limited, a blockchain-enabled issuer, fund manager, and technology provider focused on eliminating the barriers to invest in, trade, and leverage exclusive real estate, private equity, and other real-world assets through decentralized finance known as DeFi. Relio's mission is to merge private equity with blockchain technologies and to provide much broader global access to institutional-quality investment products that create long-term value and build wealth. The platform is driving adoption of security tokens both as an issuer and as a platform to enable other issuers to do the same. Relio has launched its own security token offering, backed by equity in the business on top of a revenue share component to give investors exposure to the upside of the clients using the Relio platform, as well as equity in the business. With three active funds currently in the pipeline, including a tokenized $250 million credit fund through a joint venture with Valentis Capital, the firm is poised to provide leading tokenization services for some of the largest funds in the industry. To learn more about Relio and the RST token, check out their white paper and pitch deck today at relio.fund. That's relio.fund. Check it out.
Thank you so much to our sponsor, Relio. You know, they're making this show possible. Really great. And you can go check them out at Relio.fund if you want to learn more. But let's get into the security token show. If you're new to it, each week we dive into the latest security token industry news. We tell you about the newest security token offerings and updates. And we give you a breakdown of last week's trading activity in the secondary market. Finally, we actually finish off the show with our weekly main topic discussion, which actually this week we're going to be asking ourselves, do security token investors really actually care about the blockchain? And of course, we can't get started without first doing our Company of the Week awards, where we reward two companies for making the biggest moves in the industry last week. Who is your pick this week, Kyle, for episode 83?
So my Company of the Week for this week is RentalTee, a real estate issuance platform based out of Spain. And RentalTee is the newest platform to enter into the security token industry and was successfully able to sell out an entire tokenized real estate property. On February 11th, the firm confirmed its first sale of a tokenized property in the city of Seville in southern Spain. The transaction was made on the Ethereum blockchain, and according to the company's announcement, the property sold for €54,700 to 33 investors across Spain, Mexico, and Argentina. Like with other real estate tokenization deals that we've seen in the past, investors not only get equity in the property, but they also get rental income from the property paid in USDT monthly. The company also announced that due to the growing interest in tokenized real estate sector, they are actually working to sell 2 houses per month with a goal to reach 1,000 properties by 2025, which is just amazing news. The firm has been successful in its first sale, which always seems to be the most difficult one, and now it has these extremely ambitious goals to become a leader in the tokenized real estate market. This firm is doing amazing things, and it's my pleasure to award RentalTee with my Company of the Week for episode 83.
Wow, that's awesome. More proof in the pudding that real estate is the next hot sector. Love that choice. Love to hear that that first sale went through. That's, as you said, the hardest one to do. So congrats to RentalTee. Welcome to the industry.
Very, very exciting. We're going to have to track that now that we can get that. Hopefully, we'll be able to get that data from Etherscan and be able to see as those assets go trading. So very exciting stuff. And Herwig, how about you? Who was your company of the week this week?
Well, Kyle, I'm choosing a company that's actually a joint venture between two big players in the industry. I'm talking about regulation crowdfunding platform Akimona and digital securities broker Tritorian Capital. So they've announced a new platform that they're going to operate together called Fan Mint, which is essentially a security token platform built around creators and influencers. officers. So that's clearly a brilliant play, I think, given the fact that recent steam of NFTs, you know, that are we've seen, and other artisan influencer projects that are happening. And Tritorian has some of the most experience in the space, I think, with this, given that they were also part of the NBA basketball player Spencer Dinwiddie's tokenized player contract. So that was also supposed to turn into a platform too, actually, Dream Fan Shares. But I think the status of that right now is currently unknown. Now, Fanmint may have a new shot at capturing what could be a very large market of creators and artists and influencers, maybe even athletes, I guess, too, to leverage the full range of capabilities of leveraging security tokens to expose their fans to some of the profits and their success. So since Tritorian is a broker-dealer, they'll be handling all the compliance, while Akimona's crowdfunding technology will power the Fanmint platform. So it's supposed to launch later this month, and later this year, they're actually going to issue its own security token, the Fan Token, to get exposure to the success of the platform itself, which means they're eating their own dog food, people, and you know I always love that. So I'm hoping big things for Fanmint, and that's why I'm calling them my company of the week, folks.
Wow, interesting choice there. That's a fantastic move by these two platforms. Certainly we've heard from Tritorian Capital and Akimona in the past. It's exciting to see them joining up here, and great use case, exciting stuff. Can't wait to see the success of this platform.
Hopefully we'll check it out later this month. Now, before I get to the news, I want you all to know that the articles we cover on this show, they're actually sourced from stomarket.com/news. And they're also available for reference in the about description of the podcast itself or the Security Token Show Medium blog. That's actually, you can go there whenever you want to read the news articles for yourself. So let's get into the news ball rolling here, Kyle. So last week, the SEC released a statement on the custody of digital assets by special purpose broker dealers. The main goal here was to determine whether or not distributed ledger technology can be used as a viable custodian solution. So the SEC released this statement. So, quote, "Our statement is premised on a broker dealer limiting its business to digital asset securities to isolate risk and having policies and procedures to, among others, assess a given digital asset securities distributed ledger technology and protect the private keys necessary to transfer the digital asset security. In this way, the commission is cognizant of both investor protection and potential capital formation innovations that could result from digital asset securities." So this is an opportunity for everyone in the industry to submit comments to the SEC to be heard and improve the regulation. We've done in the past. We know it works. So this is great. The good news is the SEC doesn't intend to go after brokers in the space using blockchain and DLT for at least 5 years. So this seems like a genuine interest in the SEC trying to understand and support security tokens, or as they like to call it, digital asset securities. And the Fed has been busy too, actually, as it has confirmed yet again what many other nations are already doing, exploring a central bank digital currency. So I'm telling you right now, an e-dollar is coming, just like the Chinese have done with the yuan. So the technology used would allow for 24/7 instant settlement, secure transfer of assets, and of course lower the barriers to entry for people with poor access to the banking system, among other benefits and uses, of course, for the government. The one and only Fed Chair Janet Yellen said it best, quote, "Too many Americans don't have access to easy payment systems and banking accounts. And I think this is something that a digital dollar, a central bank digital currency, could help with," end quote. So of course, it's a sensitive topic because it could also be used to track and control payments, some citing privacy concerns as a major issue with CBDC. So we'll have a stimulating e-dollar main topic, I'm sure, one of these days, no doubt, Kyle. And on the same topic, another country has also announced looking into another central bank digital currency, right? The CBDC. It's really only a matter of time, I think, until the entire financial system is digitized. All disruptive technologies, they've always, you know, received a lot of scrutiny until they are ultimately adopted. And so India believes that a CBDC is a double-edged sword. They believe it would be great for promoting financial inclusion, as we just saw with our own Fed in the US, but undermine commercial banks' role in the economy, which, after doing a lot of research, it's been interesting how some central banks have tried to leverage a CBDC, including commercial banks as well. So it's totally understandable. It's a new technology. It'll challenge and alter some of these traditional processes. And we'll see how India ultimately approaches this topic. Meanwhile, they're actually also not taking any chances when it comes to cryptocurrency, which the regulators in India have now said that any company holding Bitcoin or other crypto assets on its balance sheet that wants to go public, they must sell it. And turn it into fiat. So an attitude that's pretty opposite of the US, given that, you know, public companies like Tesla and Square are buying up Bitcoin left and right on their balance sheet. And moving into company announcements, South Korean public blockchain platform Bosagora aims to disrupt the DeFi space through its financial-friendly platform, TeFi, which stands for True Finance, and says that the current DeFi applications are lacking due to the majority of them operating on the Ethereum ecosystem and thus being far from universal. So TeFi claims you can invest in real economic assets like stocks and real estate via their platform. Sounds like a promising evolution, of course, of the DeFi space that we've been tracking, and it'll be exciting to watch how this plays out. It's launching in South Korea, so I'm not sure how the regulators will treat this platform, given that it doesn't seem to have any financial services license in place at this time, at least from what I can see immediately. And a big congratulations over to Convergence on raising a $2 million round led by prominent DeFi platform Hashed. So other key players also included Vera Dedicat of Pantera Capital and Kinetic Capital as well, and many others. So they plan to bring liquidity to tokenized securities via the automated market maker model, the AMM model. And the convergence of crypto and real world assets is clearly upon us. And yes, that pun was fully intended. And if you want to create the best DeFi solution, you must comply with securities law. So there's no way around it. Comply or die, as Jonah on our team likes to say. This time we were talking about one of the oldest and successful crypto exchanges in the world, Binance. So the Binance Smart Chain is teaming up with Ontology to ensure proper compliance is conducted when onboarding investors for STO. So it's showing signs that Binance is coming at the security token world. And in positive news, Dusk Network and business accelerator Investor Ready and are teaming up to join forces to provide support for smaller companies in need of alternative financing solutions. So token-based financing, they say, of course, eliminates the costs and barriers to entry for many, thus keeping businesses afloat who need it. And they continue to stay true to their mission to utilize blockchain to help small businesses with their partnership here. So great job to everyone involved. You know, the name almost got me confused with one of my own businesses that I own, Invest Ready. But we provide compliance. We're not an accelerator. This is Investor Ready, which is a Dutch business accelerator that helps companies with funding and formation. And blockchain companies in general seem to be raising mega rounds of capital or going public altogether. Coinbase, Kraken, Anchorage, they're all seeking that growth capital. Coinbase, of course, with their highly anticipated upcoming IPO, one that everyone's watching. Their numbers are staggering with no sign of when it'll happen. But one thing is for sure, $100 billion seems to be an eye-popping valuation. Moreover, Kraken, the U.S. exchange, is seeking an infusion of capital via private investors to boost their valuation to somewhere in about the $10 billion range. And Anchorage, the first federally chartered digital asset bank in the U.S., just closed a Series C of $80 million led by BCAP, Andreessen Horowitz, and more. So we'll see these types of rounds continue as blockchain takes center stage this decade. And now this next one I think you're all going to find very interesting. At least I did. And it's not quite security token focus, but honestly, Kyle, this article makes me think we're definitely getting closer to that mainstream adoption for blockchain. This story will likely also never reach major news outlets, but the International Organization for Standardization, or the ISO, for short, you know, through the help of e-trading software, will assign a unique digital token identifier, a DTI for short there, to cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. So this statement from the article says it all, quote, as the asset class becomes more mainstream and attracts more institutional investment, we recognize we need the standard frame of reference. So buyers, sellers, and regulators can have confidence they are talking about the same digital token. So just for reference, the ISO, they're an international standard setting body. They're composed of 165 different countries. They've standard over 20,000 processes across manufactured products, technology, food safety, agriculture, healthcare, and of course, financial markets. And this now includes crypto assets like Bitcoin and many others. That's huge validation for the future of blockchain. And finally, moving into our resources and opinions section, we start off here with our weekly thinking piece from Peter Gaffney with his Tokenize This series, where he details a unique use case for tokenization, of course, each week. This week, it was all about college students and how they can leverage the technology for a more flexible college career. He boils it down and shows how essentially investors can invest in a college student's potential success. The investor provides the funds necessary to pay for the student's college, and the investor is given the right to future rewards via post-grad employment. This obviously holds risks because the student could drop out, but also provides potentially tremendous upside, especially if your investment goes into a student that gets a great job or great career or is even an entrepreneur. The investor will definitely cash in happily. So great work, Peter. Check this one out, everyone. In fact, this is a model that's even seen some success in the crowdfunding space already, so I think this might be spot on. And Kyle recently did an interview with STO Boxes or STO Boxes, CEO COO, apologies, and co-founder Rosh Chmeliak. So, you know, you guys talked a lot about blockchain for about 30 minutes, and it's available for anyone to go check out on YouTube. But Kyle, did you have any thoughts you wanted to share about this interview?
Yeah, I really wanted to thank Ross and the rest of the Stobox team for having me on. We had a great conversation talking about security token offerings and really how security tokens have the potential to transform our world. It was a really fun, casual conversation, and I would highly recommend you checking it out if you're looking for some of that breakdown of really, from a theoretical perspective and really from just a higher level, what does it mean to be a security token offering, and how are we really transforming the financial system? It was a really great conversation. Appreciate them having me on, and look forward to doing that again. As well as we also have an interview with Ross on our Medium blog that we did about 6 months ago or so. So you should check that one out as well to see the other side and see us interviewing him.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Lots of interviews going around. Always nuggets in there when you break them down. And the last thing I want to share with you all is a fantastic article covering non-fungible tokens on Forbes. So NFTs, as they're called. NFTs 101 is a great primer to help you understand what all these collectibles are and NFT tokens in these new markets like Topshot and CryptoKitties. So, you know, there is a debate around whether they could be security tokens. In fact, check out episode 81's main topic clip on YouTube of the Security Token Show to get a breakdown of that, where we discuss whether NFTs are security tokens. And that's pretty much the full rundown of the industry news from last week for all of you amazing listeners. So, Kyle, what industry webinars do we have coming up?
Yeah, let's dive right into the events. Last week, we hosted our third Clubhouse breakout session. They are every week on Thursday at 5 p.m., where we jump into a discussion on the main topic of each podcast episode. And so last week, we broke down our main topic, which was centered around real estate collateralized lending using security tokens. And it was a fantastic conversation and very interesting to hear a bunch of different perspectives, including real estate tokenization issuers like Remy from Realty and Victor and Natalia from Reno. On top of that, we also had some lawyers on the panel and really had a fascinating discussion, not just about real estate lending, but how this space intersects with DeFi and many of the other blockchain-based processes that we've seen come to market. And so you should definitely tune in again every week to our Clubhouse breakout sessions. That's 5 p.m. on Thursdays. Obviously, this week, we're going to be talking about investors in the security token space and whether they really care about blockchain.
It's going to be a great time. It was an awesome session. All of the ones that we've started doing are. Definitely please come join us. It's a great time.
And then moving into other events, the first one I have here is RIA DAC Vision, which is hosting an event on digital assets. At RIA DAC Vision, the session's featuring leading experts, including SEC Commissioner Hester Pierce, SkyBridge founder Anthony Scaramucci, Bitwise CIO Matt Hogan, and Morgan Creek CEO and CIO Mark Yusko. And so they're going to be diving into some topics, including understanding how blockchain and digital assets work, how you could buy them, how allocation models and portfolio strategies, as well as more of the kind of investor side processes for participating in the digital assets space. So this is the RIA conference. They host many events, and they do a great job with that. So wanted to give a shout out to them, as well as the host there, Rick Edelman, who's the founder of RIA Digital Assets Council. Again, SEC Commissioner Hester Pierce will be there, and many other great people talking about digital assets and blockchain. That's on March 4th, and it looks like that will be all day. Then our final event comes from Vertalo, who's also hosting an event on March 4th. They are discussing Reg CF, that's regulation crowdfunding, and how early stage startups can leverage the expanded exemption for their businesses. And so it's going to be hosted and moderated by Vertalo CEO Dave Hendricks, who will be moderating a panel featuring Dealbox CEO John Nance, the Chief Strategy Officer Ben DeCipio of Reg CF platform Fundopolis, as well as Vertalo General Counsel Gautam Gujral, excuse me, and then finally Jenny Toth, CEO of Coinlinked. So you should check that one out as well, talking about Reg CF and startups. That's going to be at 1 p.m. Central Time on March 4th. And that's all for the events and webinars we had this week. Remember, you can submit any of those events or anything like that on stomarket.com/news if you have any other events you'd like us to cover. But with that, we're going to dive into security token offerings. And unfortunately, it was a lighter week for the STO updates. We didn't have really any significant new security tokens coming this week, but we did have some interesting things from the market update. And the security token market report for February is now live. It was published yesterday. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you may know that each month, the research team at Security Token Market and I put together a report each month detailing the total trading volume and price changes for all of the assets in the market. We've been doing this now for close to 2 years, and we've really seen the trading market expand massively since we first launched secondary market tracking back in 2019. And so I figured that I would break down a few of the biggest findings from February here on the show. First off, we had a 6% monthly market growth up to about $536 million in total market cap to close out February. On top of that, from a trading volume perspective, we saw $14.5 million in trading volume, which was over 100% volume growth in that month-over-month growth, which really shows that there's some serious activity, especially in those T0 assets, whether it's T0, Overstock, or Aspen. And finally, the February 2021 average weighted return, so that's weighted by asset on the market, was about 7% for each asset. So that's fantastic all around. And then when we talk about top performers, the top performers this month, we had one from Realty. This was 18900 Mansfield Street, was up 40%. Blockchain Capital was up 27%. And Lottery.com was up 1 cent, which on a 4 cents up to 5 cents was 25% growth. And then the worst performers this month, we had Mount Pelerin trading on Uniswap was down about 35%. And then actually two different Realty properties were down 23% and 16% respectively, which is interesting. As we talked about with a lot of those Uniswap properties, as well as Mount Pelerin, which is also on Uniswap, we do tend to see these big swings in the short term, despite the fact that there is long-term relative price stability. And then finally, moving into the top volume performers per exchange, we saw Overstock with 11 million in trading volume this month, or last month, I guess, in February, which again shows that there's really some institutional adoption here, and some of those claims that we saw on arbitrage opportunities seem to really be being taken advantage of by some funds. We also had Fullerton Avenue from Realty as the leader at Uniswap, Blockchain Capital for Open Finance, and then Curzio Equity Owners and Startup Bootcamp led the way for their respective exchanges on Merge and N-Exchange. But unfortunately, unlike Overstock, all four of those properties, Fullerton, Blockchain Capital, Curzio, and Startup Bootcamp, all did less than $15,000 in volume this month. So again, really small volumes on a lot of these low market cap assets, but that's still great to show that at least this liquidity is possible and trading is happening. And then finally, from a top exchanges perspective or marketplaces, in some cases, we have the T0 ATS leading the way with 428 million in market cap and 14.4 million in volume. Open Finance Network then follows up with second, around 50 million in market cap. Then closing it out in third is Merge Exchange at 36 million in market cap. So tremendous work from all of those marketplaces and exchanges, all of those assets getting listed, working on creating great liquidity for their platforms. You just love to see it. And moving into our market reports section, we have a huge shout out to Omar Faridi. You've heard of him before. He's one of the top reporters, analysts in the game from Crowdfund Insider. He drafted great coverage of our January real estate market report. He broke down some of the big movers, and he's just so consistent with his coverage of the industry growth. So as always, I really want to give him a big shout out and recognize him for all of the amazing work he does to help us promote the security token industry and drive adoption around the world. Thank you so much, Omar, for everything that you do for the industry. And the final market update before we dive into market performance over the past week comes from the founder of decentralized exchange Uniswap, Hayden Adams, on Twitter. And Hayden shared some really crazy statistics about Uniswap's performance in the month of February alone that I just thought were worthwhile to share and dig into a little bit. And so as he mentioned, in 4 weeks of February, they actually had four weekly volume records. The first week they did $7.5 billion. The second week they did $7.7 billion. The third week it was 8.2. Finally closing out the fourth week of February with $8.6 billion in trading volume. So they are just flying. That's $32 billion in monthly trading volume, which is a new all-time high for the exchange, bringing them to a total of $118 billion in all-time volume. really showing that they are skyrocketing in volume. If they did about 25% of their entire trading volume over the past, three years now, in just a matter of 1 month. They did $12 million in volume in February 2019, $144 million in February 2020, and now $32 billion in February 2021. So crazy, crazy numbers coming out from Uniswap. Now, a significant majority of this trading volume actually has nothing to do with security tokens, because Uniswap, again, facilitates trading for any cryptocurrency that is built on Ethereum. But I think these stats really show the power of a decentralized exchange and prove the opportunity here. I mean, you compare the all-time volumes there to Coinbase, which just filed its IPO and disclosed a lot of these stats. And after 7 or 8 years now, Coinbase has done about $450 billion in trading volume total. And Uniswap has done about 7% of that in just the past month of February alone. So they are really catching up quickly to Coinbase, doing about 25% of total volume that Coinbase has. And they're just, it seems like they're really catching up. So we'll have to track when that flippening might happen, if Uniswap does in fact pass Coinbase in total volume sometime here in 2021. But amazing work from that team, and it really shows the incredible promise for the platform. It shows the value of blockchain-based settlement and clearing for asset transfer, and tremendous work providing liquidity for all these different assets moving forward. Just thought those are some interesting stats to share from Uniswap. And moving into our market trading report from the last week, our total security token market cap was at $537 million, which was right where we called it for the February market report, but it is down about 16% from where we saw it last week. There's no real other way around it, folks. It was a tough market performance. We saw a significant dip from Overstock, T0, and Blockchain Capital this week, which are our three highest market cap assets, and all three were down just about 20% each. So, I mean, we've seen volatility like this from some of these assets in the past, and you know, Overstock does move similarly to the public market counterpart, so you can explain it that way, but I don't necessarily understand really why Blockchain Capital moved down so significantly. Considering the firm owns about $2.6 million worth of Coinbase equity that it acquired during its Series C round, the firm should be expecting an absolutely massive payday on that liquidation event that's coming up here in 2021. So in that case, investors should be flocking to this asset, as it's now trading significantly under its NAV, which is already potentially undervalued relative to the expectation of its underlying portfolio that's coming up here very, very soon. So definitely this is an asset to keep your eye on, but as always, you should do your own research first. And if you want to listen to how to value a tokenized fund, definitely check out our main topic episode on YouTube, where we cover how to value a tokenized fund. You can catch that and figure out exactly what NAV means and exactly how that asset should be trading. Aside from that, we're still seeing much lower liquidity from the Realty assets, but there is some rumors that they may begin listing their assets on another decentralized exchange in the future outside of Uniswap, which may drive additional liquidity to the tokens. I don't have any more information on that one yet, but I definitely will keep you posted if I see anything coming out soon. And that's all I really have for you. It was another relatively slow week from the market this week, Herwig.
Not a great performance from the secondary market for sure this week, but you know, of course, I'm optimistic and I'm sure it'll bounce back soon. And interesting to think about the Realty scoop there, Kyle. I know our listeners will be very excited to hear what else you can find there. So,
So with that, I guess we should just jump right into our main topic, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, we've got an interesting discussion to have today, don't we? I mean, a question that needs to be asked, I think. The answer might be unexpected. Maybe we each have a different opinion, and you know, think carefully about your answer. For everyone listening, do security token investors care about blockchain?
Yeah, that's obviously a loaded question. I mean, are you trying to clickbait us here, Herwig? This can obviously be perceived a few different ways. And I mean, are you specifically asking about them caring about using blockchain for security tokens or about using a specific blockchain?
And this is why my, you know, this is exactly why you're my business partner, Kyle. You're asking the right questions. You nailed the point of it, of course. Blockchain is so overarching, you know, that for investors to understand the use case, it's like investors needing to understand how the plumbing of capital markets itself works, which is, you know, a majority of investors simply don't. They don't care. The same way we do not care how the internet works, just that it actually works.
All right. So, yeah, do investors care about what programming language their brokerage account is built on? The answer is likely no, but we do have to consider our investor profile. Someone who's buying a security token is either definitely savvy about blockchain or has never heard of blockchain and most likely is learning about it for the first time. In the case of learning for the first time, I'm almost certain that they probably don't care. However, the savvy investor may do more diligence on whether it's a private DLT or if it's using a public blockchain, and they may have a specific preference based off of what their experience has been in the past.
All right. Okay. So, I like the idea of breaking down the profile. Definitely from the perspective of a private banking and financial services world, the big institutions and the banks, they're exploring this technology right now, as we've been covering, and they tend to opt for a private ledger, you know, that they can control the security, the privacy, and, you know, for other reasons, R3's Corda, you know, the Hyperledger framework, they've all been very popular choices by big banks and institutions all around the world. But we have seen some banks also like Societe Generale as well, and the Central Bank of France, you know, they chose to test on Ethereum for some of their use cases, and they've also voiced support for other testing other options like Tezos, I'm pretty sure. So it does seem like the technology benefits of a public blockchain versus a DLT is definitely up for debate right now there. But from the perspective, I think, of the retail or the individual investor, you know, most of the time the crowdfunding projects, they leverage Ethereum or some public blockchain that's very popular. In these cases, I certainly don't think the investors care. They came to a real estate platform or to a unique investment opportunity that they're excited about, not for a blockchain. Did they care if any of the previous investments that they did used Google Sheets over Excel or Carta over another solution like a transfer agent? I highly, highly doubt it. You know, they came for the investment, not the blockchain. And that's mostly the point we're trying to make about this question, I think, you know, at least from my end. SCOs shouldn't be focused on the blockchain when they are raising money. They should just be focused on the investment opportunity. Security tokens are just a tool.
Yeah, imagine if a firm came out to the public and said, come invest in me. We're using Carta. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, right? We've seen it so much with STOs where they say that an investor should just invest because it's a security token. And as we just want to keep hammering home, that's not a reason to invest. That's a function of the investment itself.
Absolutely right. Well said. You know, I think we'll find that most security token investors, like 90% of them, don't care about the blockchain. They want their investment. The token is the instrument, and the goal is to make money. Now, even with Realty, which has, in my opinion, the largest crypto community investing in security tokens, they seem to be very focused on what they can do, but not how. You know, no one is saying, I won't buy this because it's not on Algorand. They're saying, you know, they're selling properties in less than a minute. People want their product. Now, in this case, I think they are the perfect example of the other 10%, because what do they care about? You know, is the DeFi support, of course, so the ability to leverage decentralized platforms and protocols for lending and staking, like they've said with Aave. And as you mentioned, maybe there's some other things happening there. So in this case, investors may not care so much which blockchain is used, so long as it's the right one that supports the DeFi platform they may prefer, such as Aave or MakerDAO.
Yeah, I mean, as you pointed out, Realty investors do tend to be crypto savvy as well as very Ethereum focused. Last week in our breakout session on Clubhouse, we actually had Remy, the CEO, join us, and he made it very clear that his community is yearning for DeFi support and that the company is investing heavily in making that possible for its investors. So in this case, they definitely care more about the underlying tech than maybe what you'd see from the average investor. But I do think they represent only one category of investors. And when it comes to security tokens, my expectation and hope is that more traditional investors are buying them as opposed to crypto investors.
Yeah, I agree with you there 100%. Again, DeFi is still the bleeding edge, right? And we're still trying to convert our current capital markets into digital capital markets. So DeFi really is just a new tiny subsect in relation to the rest of current financial markets, right? Now, of course, it's growing like crazy. And of course, you can also flip the question we're asking here on its head. We've heard people say some investors don't even care about security tokens if they're already happy with how things are going. So I actually think there's a case that many people are turned off by the security token if you're going to make that a big part of your pitch. You know, really, issuers should actually be able to choose both options, I think. Most technology platforms make it very easy to convert in and out of tokens as an investor. Not that it would ever frequently happen, I think. But so there are definitely still investors, you know, who see the use of security tokens as a risk to the investment itself, since they don't know it or understand it and don't want to.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, technophobia is a real thing. And when you throw in the fact that we're talking about people's money, security tokens can seem scary. That changes, though, as adoption increases and technology proves itself over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely. As I always like to say, when people actually start making money with security tokens, that's when they get enlightened. And I'd say learning about security tokens is a lot less scary than crypto, given that there's actually no concerns of losing your asset or keys, if you will, right?
Well, we've got more security tokens launching than ever this year, so the gospel will continue to spread faster and faster than ever before.
I love it. And blockchain really is clearly hitting its stride. I mean, I was just talking to Keith on the team today. Blockchain is starting to get, you know, the acceptance and deliver on its promises, right? Bitcoin is just one of those macro factors in play right now. We've got NFTs. Stable coins are huge too now. We're really going to start seeing how investors feel about security tokens in the blockchain, I think.
That's right. And only time will tell. But with that, I think we can wrap up yet another episode of the Security Token Show, Herwig. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsors again, Relio. Relio is creating its own blockchain-based platform to allow funds to launch their own security token offerings. They're working with some of the top-tier issuer clients with hundreds of millions of dollars in the pipeline, and they're also launching their own security token, the RST token, to allow investors to get access to the platform as well as get a revenue share with the underlying performance of the earnings that the company makes in issuing additional properties. You guys definitely got to check this one out, Relio.fund. Thank you for our sponsor, Relio, for everything that they're doing there. And with that, I think thanks everyone for listening. I hope that you enjoyed it and learned something today.
Yeah, seriously, thanks for joining us, especially to our repeat listeners. Please send in any questions or feedback as always to us on Twitter or LinkedIn, and be sure to get the latest trading data and news at stomarket.com. Now remember, if you're on Clubhouse, be sure to join us this Thursday at 5 p.m. for the breakdown of this week's show. And if not, I'll catch you all next week on Tuesday for episode 84.